Father God, you have given so much to us. Give us one thing more, a grateful heart. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. You know, during this week between Christmas and the New Year, Kenneth continues his reflections on the message of Christmas. You know, at this time of year, many of us have an expectation of getting things. And indeed, some really nice gifts have exchanged hands this holiday season. But during this time of giving and getting, have we taken time to express sincere thankfulness? Well, in today's program, Kenneth Wong challenges us to have an attitude of gratitude.
Hello, everyone. It's a joy to be with you once more on this program. We're now into the last week of the year between Christmas and New Year. And for many people, this is a time when they are still on holiday or maybe on leave. And after the highlights, the excitement and the busyness of Christmas, this is generally a good time for quiet reflection when we move into a more contemplative mood to count our blessings with gratefulness and thanksgiving. And the prevailing frame of mind or attitude for doing this is the attitude of gratitude. And we're going to look at two encounters of Jesus from Luke's Gospel in chapters 17 first, and then in the second message in Luke chapter 7, which deal with this attitude of gratitude. I'm entitling this first message 1 or 9, and these are two numbers that occur in the passage that we are going to read, and they really represent two types or two categories of people. Let me first read to you from Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, from verse 11 through to 19. This is the episode recording Jesus' healing of the 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." Let me first address the arresting question that Jesus posed in verse 17. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Well, this incident of the cleansing and healing of the 10 lepers is unique to Luke's Gospel. It is an actual incident. It's not a parable or an anecdote that Jesus told to bring out a point. And this story brings out the difference between the grateful and the ungrateful very clearly. There were 10 lepers who were cleansed or healed, but there was only one who turned back to glorify God. So there are some instances, at least, when it is right to turn back, and this is one of them. And it is always right when we turn back from pursuing our own will and going our own way to the Lord. And this is what we see happening here. In verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God." And then on in verse 16, "He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. This was not a returning of repentance, but it's returning to give thanks. It's not just relishing the blessing that we have experienced, but returning to Him who gave the blessings, so that we return thanks to Him. But the thing I want us to notice is the irony of a Samaritan doing this right thing. It says at the end of verse 16, almost as an afterthought, "And he was a Samaritan," which probably suggests that the other nine were perhaps not. In fact, this is reinforced in verse 18, where it says, "Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Now, you have to understand that a Samaritan was often regarded like an outcast by the Jew. The Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans and vice versa. And the fact that this Samaritan was also a leper made him doubly doubtful as one whom you might expect would return to give thanks to God. He was both an outcast as a leper and an outsider as a Samaritan. But as so often happens, and Jesus had pointed out on another occasion, it is these people, the outcasts and the outsiders, the tax gatherers, the publicans, who will enter the kingdom of God before the ultra-religious ones, the Pharisees, for example. "Where are the nine?" the Lord Jesus asked. "Well, they have come and they have gone. They have come, they have taken, and they have gone on their way." But that question begets a further question, and it leads me to ask myself, am I the one, or am I one of the nine? So let's take a closer look at what is the difference between this one who returned and the other nine who did not, and who went on their own ways. In verse 19, where we have read, the Lord said to the one who returned, He said this, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." Or in the Old King James Version, it says, "has made you whole." Now that's an interesting statement and thought, because many may be healed, but few are truly made whole or well all round. So it's not just being partially helped or affected, but whether or not we are thoroughly affected, completely made well or whole. Can you see what a significant difference this is, especially in the light of eternity? There are many people who look to God for blessing, for healing, for deliverance. And by God's grace, they are helped, they are delivered, they are healed, and they are blessed. But all that is meant to be simply stepping stones to returning to God, to knowing Him, to being truly cleansed and forgiven of our sins, and to be made spiritually whole. And that can only come with a step of faith. That can only come by returning back to the Lord. So the question is, if you have been touched in some way or blessed in some way by God, has it led you to turn back to God with gratefulness and with thankfulness, so that by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, you may be made completely well and whole, not only physically but spiritually, not just partially but entirely holy? And this is the evidence of a right response. A right response is that of returning to thank the one who has cleansed and healed and blessed. And you can say this ratio of 1 to 10 is really an indication of the general response and attitude of people toward God and toward what God has done for them. 9 out of 10 times, and 9 out of 10 persons would do as these 9 lepers who had been cleansed had done. They would just go on their own way, without remembering and without returning to God to give thanks, to bow themselves down at His feet to worship Him, and to glorify God by giving their lives to Him. So the question is, are we the 1 or are we the 9? These are not just 2 numbers. They represent 2 types, 2 categories of people, 2 attitudes. Those who would turn back to God, who would be drawn closer to God, and those who would insist on going their own way happily. Now let's consider, what is the essence of gratitude? The essence of gratitude is that it is a right response to God's gift of grace, His mercy, His love, His compassion. So we can say the right response and the required response to God's grace is this attitude of gratitude. And this in turn leads to the act of glorifying Him, of thanking Him, and praising Him. And this is the outward behavior or manifestation that we see in the 1 Samaritan leper who returned. In verse 15, we have read that he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Then in verse 16, he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving Him thanks. So we see that such an attitude of gratitude is something which affects me inwardly, not just outwardly. Some others may be blessed, but they are not affected. And it's possible to be blessed, but unaffected, and to go merrily on our own way. We're untouched. We're unmoved. What we see here is a spiritual chain reaction from grace to glory. And it always begins with God. It begins with God's grace. That's an act of God. He extends His grace toward us. And this in turn meets with our gratitude. And that's an attitude of mind. And that in turn leads to glorifying, which is an act of mind. We glorify Him in worship, in thanksgiving, and in praise. In fact, we glorify God through all of our actions and conduct, because they begin to be shaped by this single motive of wanting to glorify Him out of a grateful heart. It's good to be grateful for blessings and also for people who have been a blessing to us. But you know, it is far more important to be grateful to God first as the source of all blessing. One of my favorite hymns is by Frederick Faber, and this is what it says in the very first stanza. My goal is God Himself, not joy nor peace, nor even blessing, but Himself, my God. 'Tis His to lead me there, not mine but His. At any cost, dear Lord, by any road. So if we are grateful to God first, then we begin to be grateful for what He has done for us. For example, He has saved us. He has forgiven us. He has loved us. He has healed us, delivered us, and blessed us. All these are just so many words and ideas and thoughts. But until we begin to be deeply gripped and affected by them inwardly, we are not truly living in gratitude. And the way this can happen is by putting Him first. We find it easy and natural to be grateful to someone, not so much something. So when we acknowledge Him as the source of all our blessings, we won't plagiarize God's blessings, if I may borrow that word, which we often apply to using somebody else's thoughts and ideas and lyrics and scripts without properly attributing the authorship to them. So we can plagiarize God's blessings, so to speak, by taking them for our own without attributing them to the originator or the source, which is God Himself. But when we do that, it puts a personal note, a stamp on our thanksgiving, and we become truly grateful for all the blessings, all the things that we have received, because we are grateful to the one who gave them. So gratefulness is expressed firstly toward a person for the favor and the grace that is shown. Now, I'm quite certain that the other 9 lepers who were also cleansed probably felt thankful as well, but not so much to the person who healed them, that is the Lord Jesus, but more possibly for the good fortune that they had just experienced. They might be saying to themselves, "Wow, this is our lucky day." So they could have been thankful for what happened to them externally, but not inwardly grateful to the one who showed them this favor, this grace, this blessing. They took the blessing and they went their way. But, beloved, we owe a debt to the grace of God, which can never be repaid or returned except by gratitude. And that's how important a right attitude of gratitude to God is, because it becomes our primary motivation for all that we do in life. And it's far more powerful than any form of self-motivation that you can muster for yourself. Now the practical question is, how do I be grateful? What does it mean to be grateful? What are the chief characteristics of a grateful person? Well, gratefulness or gratitude shows itself in a number of ways. In fact, this is what the great Roman orator Cicero said, although he was not a Christian. He said, "A thankful heart is not only the greatest virtue, but the parent of all other virtues." So what I'm going to do now is to paint you a picture of what gratitude looks like in terms of some other virtues that we find in the New Testament. Number one is thankfulness. Gratitude is something that is inwardly felt, but it needs to be outwardly expressed or manifested. And this is done through acts of thanksgiving and praise. And nowhere else do we find the thread of thankfulness more evident than in Paul's letter to the Colossian church, where in every one of the 4 chapters, there is some mention of the importance of giving thanks to God. For example, right in chapter 1, verses 3 and 12, he says, "We give thanks to God, the Father." And then in chapter 2, verse 7, he says, "Abounding with thanksgiving." And then in the 3rd chapter, verse 15, "Be thankful," was the exhortation. And then finally in the 4th chapter, verse 2, "Watch with thanksgiving." So it's thanksgiving, thankfulness, give thanks all the way through. Here we find the pen of a man who is writing from a truly thankful heart, gripped by the attitude of gratitude. So that's the first thing, thankfulness. Here's the second, humility. Because it is all of grace and all of God. There's nothing deserving in myself. There's nothing presumptuous. We don't take for granted. But you know you have done nothing to deserve it. And this verse from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34, was quoted by both James and Peter as New Testament writers, first in James 4:6 and then in 1 Peter 5:5, where it says, "God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." So there's a connection between grace, gratitude, and humility. A grateful person is a humble person. The third thing is contentment. The grateful person is the contented person. He has enough. He's satisfied. He's filled. He's not coveting for more. He's not hankering after something more. And this is best exemplified by the Apostle Paul again when he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. Here is a good practical definition of contentment. He said, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." And then he goes on to say, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now that latter verse has often been quoted and sung wrongly as, my God shall supply all my need. But it doesn't say that. This is the reflection of a heart that is truly full of gratitude to God for his abounding goodness and is therefore motivated and ready in turn to give to others. And this leads us on to the fourth thing, which is generosity. A grateful person is a generous person. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, which is a major chapter on giving and ministering to the saints, we find the gratitude of the Apostle Paul overflowing in like manner when he talks about the subject of giving. In fact, he begins right in verse 1, now concerning the ministering to the saints. So it's not about himself, it's about serving, giving, and ministering to the other believers. And he ends that whole chapter 9 with this glorious verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So you see, what gratitude does is it instills a desire to do the same for others as what God has done for you. Gratitude begets more grace, more graciousness, and generosity in giving of yourself to others. And it's interesting to find in the middle here, in verse 7, there are actually three types of giving that he distinguishes for us. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. And here are two negative ways of giving, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. That's the positive way of giving. So here are three types of giving. You can call them grudge giving because he says not grudgingly. And then secondly, there is duty giving because he says not of necessity. And then thirdly, there is thanksgiving. God loves a cheerful giver, giving out of a thankful and a grateful heart. Are you giving, beloved? If you are, that's great. But it's good to move beyond grudge giving and also duty giving to real thanksgiving, which is giving that overflows from a thankful and a grateful heart. Well, I trust in these precious moments that we have been spending together, you would have been refreshed by God's presence and touched and reached and moved by His wonderful word.
We owe a debt to grace, which can never be repaid or returned, except by gratitude. Thank you, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Kenneth Wong continues with part two of Attitude of Gratitude. Right now, though, I'd like to tell you how you can be in contact with us. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a comment or a question and would like to bounce that off Ken, then send us a text message. You can send it to 9431-3813, or you can write to him at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. Now, we recognize that during this holiday season, you may not be able to join us each evening for the broadcast. And if that is the case for you, I invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia. And there you'll be able to listen online or download the program to your smartphone or to your MP3 player. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.